podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. Excuse me. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, not only innovative in technology and customer service, and so easy to set up and use. I think a five-year-old could do it. I would not recommend it. It's not super safe, but it is a safe machine, but I wouldn't have a five-year-old using it. I don't think they could get it over the net. Mention Coach Unplugged and they could give you $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I started teachhoops.com because I was a high school coach. I wish this had been out there for me. You know, I've won at the highest level. We've won multiple state titles. We've been nationally ranked. But I wanted to share things that I thought would be helpful for a high school basketball coach, or youth basketball coach, a college basketball coach. And that's why I started teachhoops.com, to make you a better basketball coach. And that's why we do one-on-one calls and office hours, and why I give a 14-day free trial, because I want to help you. And if you only need 14 days, go kick the tires. Maybe that's all you need. But anyway, go over and check it out, and let's head off to the
podcast. Morning, everybody, or afternoon, or whatever it is.
Good afternoon. Evening for you guys, right? Evening for
you guys. Evening. Oh, yeah. It's like 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Afternoon for me still.
Oh, really? Oh, where are you at?
California, San Diego.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so pack line. So what questions first before I talk about anything? Hold on, let me make sure.
Why should we run pack line?
I don't know if you should. I mean, you guys were the ones that asked the question last week about it. Why should you run pack line?
I mean, what I try to do right now is run pressure man-to-man, pressure on the ball, deny the wings.
So you don't deny the wings in a pack line.
Right.
Is there a prototypical fit far as like your look of your team, like taller, smaller? Is there a type of player that fits that scheme better?
It's more opponents, I think, because, you know, the pack line is, I don't like, it's not a sagging man, but
right.
But it's basically pressuring the ball. And, you know, you got to keep, and then everyone else has a foot in that pack line, basically.
Yes.
So the pack line tends to be anywhere from 14 to 16 feet from the basket.
Right, right.
And, you know, I haven't run it in a while, but the years I've run it, you know, I'll literally put painter's tape down on the floor. And we'll work on that specific, you know, like the key is you are vulnerable to 3-point shooting if you don't close out well.
I would think that creates a lot of closeout situations because everybody
does. Practicing. And you can't, and you cannot allow direct line drives, and you cannot get beat baseline if you're going to run pack line. Mm-hmm. And if you, because if you let, you know, so that's hard. It takes some practice to work on those specific closeouts. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, if you're getting killed from 15 feet in, you're getting killed on the glass, you know, maybe you have a small team and you got to make sure everyone's in there to rebound.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Cause we're going to be small right now. I'm thinking we're going to be small. So I'm like, okay. I don't want to get beat every game inside. I want to be able to gang rebound. Would you suggest now, could the pack line be part of a defensive package, or does that have to be if you run a pack line?
No, it doesn't necessarily have to be. Yeah, but you're going to definitely – I'll send you – anybody that wants it, I'll send you like a handout that I've used over the past that's really good from and it goes through some drills and all that kind of stuff.
I want it.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I mean, the big guys on running pack line are obviously Bennett was big on pack line. Neighbors, who's the women's coach in Washington, is big on pack line. Well, all the Bennetts are. Bo Ransom, pack line. Jim Boone, who's a D2's coach, runs a lot of pack line. He's a Bennett disciple. So, yeah, I think it's, I mean, you won't give up easy buckets if you run pack line well. You will give up some threes. I find the hardest part is that direct line, not, like closing out and not letting them shoot three and not letting them have the have a direct line, straight line drive is the hardest thing for my guys, is to be able to get out, close out, pressure the ball, but not let them have that direct, you know, if you have a straight line drive, you're in trouble. But it's aggressive. There's a lot of ball pressure. The guy on the ball doesn't like it. You know, but I would, you know, and it's good positioning. It's just like normal man. It's just, you're a little bit, you're more into the paint area. You're more like all those other, let's say the ball's on the top, those other four, you know, have their foot inside the 16 foot range. You know, I've run, it's not Pac-Man, but I've like, we play teams that aren't real long 3-point shooting teams. So we'll play, quote unquote, we won't play pack line, but we'll play where you can't have a foot outside of the 3-point line to defend because they're not that long of a shooter. It's like, dang, go let them shoot those. I don't care. So the pack line is similar, is that they got both feet inside of that pack line protecting the paint.
So, getting so beat could you have your, so could you have your staple man to man and then also have pack line for those teams that aren't shooters and they just want to, they're athletes like in Florida and they just want to drive, attack and try to, or does the pack have, if you're going to put that in, it's such
I
a
play the pack. If I was going to play the pack, I would not go between regular.
Okay.
Man,
all right. That's what that was the question.
I'd pick one and then get
that's
good
gonna
at
be
it.
The staple.
If I was okay. you, yeah. I haven't seen your league. I'd play pack. Mm-hmm. I'd pressure the ball. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's different. Once someone picks up the ball in pack line, then it's denied. Then it's like, then you're in full, like, so if you're pressuring the ball and they pick it up, it's any dead ball situation, you're up and you're denying that reversal and pack line. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the difference is, you know, the ball, let's say if the ball is at two top spots and he has it, you're sagging down into the pack line. You're not, you're, that reversal is okay. You have a shot clock in Florida?
Not yet. No. I'm waiting for it.
So no shot clock. So, I mean, you could get to the point where maybe people are passing it around. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a shot clock, I think it would be a great thing for a shot clock. Just because it's, you know, the closeouts are big. You know, the drills are going to be on closing out on no straight line drives, making them turn, you know, positioning, all of that. If teams like to drive and get to the rack, they're not going to like this. It's like a war. It's like war where, you know, you have the one person, you have all these people protecting the castle, you know, it's like, or capture the flag. Like you ain't getting you ain't getting to the rim. So we're giving up other things, but we're not getting to the rim.
So what would you suggest? Okay. So the bulk of our opponents are going to be bigger, trying to attack the rim off dribble penetration. But as we go, you know, there are like a select few teams that can shoot it. So what would you – so should I have like a zone to put in place?
Yeah, you could run
like
1-3-1. You could do something like that. I'd change it up. Okay. Yeah, I just want to – I want to go toward man principles and pack line. They're the same. They're just – you're defending them differently. If you're going to run pack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I would change it. If you start getting beat by threes, then change it up. Then we'll do this, or we'll do a run and jump, or I don't know. We can do something. And then how you like, they're gonna try to, and it's harder to pound it into the post, but then you'll have some specific rules for the post, like what's gonna happen when the ball goes into the post. You know, what's the reversal on that? You know, are you gonna three-quarter? You know, we tend to three-quarter, we don't tend to front because if we can front and get around, we do it no matter what we're playing, just because the lobs are hard. You know, high school lobs are hard in high school. But in a pack line, you're going to have plenty of help. So if you three-quarter court, full front, that lob, you should have enough people in the pack that are just in that paint area that should be able to help. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I know I pushed this off last week when we were having office hours, and I just wanted to make sure I circled back on it this week.
I know you guys had it, but I'll send you, I know the two of you had had questions on it, so I can send you the handout and stuff from Xavier.
Could you pressure full court or three quarter court and fall back to a pack? Like, what would you do? How would you?
I've never done that. So I don't know the answer.
How
to
would
that.
You? You know, because we got speedy guards. We're small, but we got some speed. You know, they're pretty good at pressuring the ball full court, getting in passing lanes. But
you're trying to turn them over. So you would? I would have a rule where you get out of it and get back.
Okay.
You definitely want to protect. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's ball gets over half court. We're in our whatever it is, something mm-hmm. to. Shift you to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we could run a zone press or something back to a pack.
Yeah, I've done that. Zones are, okay. I've run like a 2-2-1 back to man. That's what I'm thinking.
That's worked
for me in the past. Mm-hmm. I think any of that would be fine as far as kind of movements and things like that. I think that's okay. Yeah, I think any of that. Hold on, I'm trying to turn off my notifications here. All right. Other questions on the pack? I will send, if anybody has, wants this, send me an email at some point. You all have my email. And I will, there we go. Found it. I'll just send that off to you. I think it's from, I don't even remember. I'll have to go dig it up, but it's like, I know it's Boone and, somebody else, maybe it's Chris Mack from, well, it's Chris Mack because it's Xavier handout. It's really good. As far as pack line goes, it'll be helpful. All right. Anything? Well, otherwise we'll leave pack line and go on because I'm on a hard 7:30 tonight because I got camp tomorrow. So, and I got, it's going to be like 97 on Tuesday. So I'm trying to, we don't have air conditioning like Florida. So in our gyms. All right. Other questions? Got some new faces I see this week. That's good. Always love that. Don't be bashful. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question about what you'd email? Just put the ball in a dead corner.
Yep.
I just want to make sure if I understood correctly. So the ball's.
Yeah, I'm a little closer. There you go. Yeah, I don't quite remember, but go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So if the ball's in the dead corner here.
Yep.
And I basically have a box over here, and I was going to have these two people screen for this guy to come.
Yep. He goes and high. Yep.
Have one guy flash the short corner.
Yeah. I think you had, there was a second movement to
the
that.
The second part is screen here, and then
he curled. Yeah. So you had both of them going high, but nobody coming back to the ball. So I think you'll get something in those first two options. It's a very weird location to get the balls at in that corner over there.
Right.
So I think the action you had was really good with the curls. However, I think you want somebody as like, quote unquote, a safety coming back to the ball, like short corner right to the ball.
So would it work with like if these two guys screen?
Yep.
Yes. Like and this guy goes.
Yep.
And this guy just goes to a short corner.
Yeah, I would do the second motion you had. I think you had another screen.
So the second one.
Yep, I would do that. Yep. And then have him, that guy, come back to the short corner.
And have the second guy come to the short corner.
And another thing, I didn't put this in the email that I sent you, but the other thing I would say is that's a, first of all, very weird location. I can probably on one hand the number of times I've gotten the ball there in the last couple of years. But be careful, trust the person that's throwing it in and make sure if they're throwing it away from your basket that the ball is going to get to the person they're throwing it to. Because if you turn it over on that, it's going to be a layup in the other direction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying I think you want that third person coming. Ooh, maybe not. I'm here. Oh, not open. Ooh, not open. At least I know I got that last person coming back to me. And if I turn it over on that one, I'm not throwing it toward my own basket, their basket.
Got it. So the first one goes here and he's gone here.
Yeah.
And the second one curls.
And
then curl, the last guy is short corner.
Short corner. Yeah. Okay. And that's your safety. So you have a discussion with that person throwing it in. Like the first two people, they better be open. Like your mom's life depends on it, not yours. Your mom's life depends on it. And then the third one is the safety. You can get it back to that person. Cause I can just see what's going to happen. Maybe you'll run it once, but they're going to cheat on that on the second time you run it. And they're going to look for the steal. So then get the person coming back to the basket. Yeah.
Okay.
And then pass fakes, obviously eyes are where passes come from, are the eyes. So look away and then come back, all that kind of stuff. You should talk to your, whoever's throwing it in. There's a nuance. Like the person that's throwing it in can date my daughter. Usually that's kind of the trust we have to have. So it's got to be pretty high level of trust.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So very high level of trust if you're throwing the ball in for me. Or I don't trust you. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, no problem. That was a quick email too, so I'm sorry about that. I was like, yeah.
I got it.
I'll give you all a little background. Our school is 50 plus years old. Can't get in my gym this summer, so I have to go to the middle school. They're ripping the school apart. They should have built a new school. So I'm like between camp and a school, and then I had to get literally everything out of the school. So like in a like one of those pods outside the school. I'm excited. I haven't run camp in like 2 years. So I'm getting all the mom. I got like two mom emails right before I jumped on here. So anybody that's run camp can appreciate that. Yeah. Anyway, like, will there be basketballs? Like, well, yeah. All right, go ahead. If you don't be bashful.
Can you go over, what is it? Your foxhole thing that you do with your team. I want to know the details of how you do this.
Yep. So I big circle. Okay. And
on a piece of paper,
for each kid. Each kid. And they do it They put themselves in the front of, if I remember right, it's been a while, but it's, yeah. So there's four spots and there's a trust. Like if you know anything about a foxhole, it's like, you know, where are you going to be in that foxhole? Like, I want to find out who they trust on the team. You know, so who's going to be on the side? Who's going to be back watching for the enemy? Who's going to be on the other side? And then there's a ranking to that. And then they rank because there's guys, there's kids I have coached that I would never get in a foxhole with. I'd just start walking toward the enemy line rather than get in a foxhole with them. So we always talk about the foxhole test. It's like, will you be there when I need you? Is the five watch Band of Brothers. So you can do it any way you want, but usually it's three positions or four positions and you rank them. And this is the first person I trust, second person I trust, third person I trust. And I can see if I can find my old template. I didn't do it this last year because we just didn't have time. But it's like, who do I trust? When the bullets are flying, who do I trust? And you'll be surprised who makes that.
And you said you don't share it with the players?
Don't share it with the players. I just
share it with the players.
I know. Wow.
What's the reason behind that? Why you don't share
I don't have one. I've always wanted to know who everyone trusts more than anything else because I try to build the trust up in the other ones. If there's a kid, I'll call him, you know, Sydney. If Sydney isn't trusted by anybody, then we got to build. There's something going on with Sydney and the rest of the team. And I don't necessarily want to throw that log onto the fire. So I try to build Sydney back up. And usually there's somebody that everybody has in their foxhole. Like there's a couple guys on my team right now. I put them in my foxhole. Done. Like, I mean, they might start running toward the enemy. Like right at them. Like I, no doubt I trust them. I haven't had a reason to, you know, not because I'm scared to have that discussion. I don't know why I've never really discussed it with them. Cause like at the end of the season in my exit interviews, I have them rank everybody in the program and then we talk about it. Which is one of the best things we do as far as one of the many things we do in our exit interviews. But so I'm not bashful. Like you think you're number three and the rest of the players in the team, the program think you're 12. Mm. We got to have a talk. So I'm not against having that discussion. I just have never done it. So, I mean, I guess I could try it. That's like, but it's a great You probably can guess the two guys that are going to make a lot of foxholes, probably. But yeah, it's like
the kids are going to ask, why are we doing this? And you're not going to share the information with them. So I'm trying to figure out how to put this all together.
I'm just saying, I just, who do you trust? I mean, you can be, I mean, if you want to share it, share it with them. I don't care. I mean, but I would just say like who do you want in your foxhole? And I would have a discussion about what a foxhole is, because half of them won't know what a foxhole is. So I don't remember what Band of Brothers is. You pull out a Band of Brothers and show them, you know, when they were in the Ardennes and it was winter and they could see the Germans, you know, who do you want in this foxhole with you when things come to push and shove? And then, yeah, yeah. I mean, I have no qualms with you sharing it. I think that would be a great discussion point. I don't know if I would share all the foxholes, but I might share the top two or three that are that I would do it. Here's the stats teacher in me. I would like, hey, I would go, here are the bottom three, but here are the top two or three. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is John and Matt in everyone's foxhole? And then you could have that discussion. I definitely would not say Sydney's in no one's foxhole. Mm. No one trusts Sydney. Now, maybe Sydney dated half the girls that you're dating. I don't know, whatever. But, you know, I think it's a good, it is, for me, it's always been, I need data. I need data, and I want data. I want to know who's trusts who. So, I don't know. It's something I found maybe 10 years ago. It's been pretty useful.
I like it.
Okay. Good. I'm glad. I mean, it stuck to the wall. That's good. Sometimes I'm never sure.
So I was just on a stack play, just getting the ball in. I remember just talking about it's easy if we're going this way, just to stack it up.
And going which way? Move it up toward the ceiling. There you go. Perfect. Yep.
So we're going this way.
Yep.
This is a play I think you drew up before, but underneath the basket. But yep. Would this be a good one here? Is just to have them stack, and then just all three go away and then come back to get the ball in?
Yeah, it's probably not enough movement on that. So I might stack and then put two guys across and have them zigzag like this. So two, it's like a 2-2, but two guys like this and then two guys up here. And then have these two go opposite directions. One's going to go that way, one's going to go that way, and then have them screen and kind of cut in opposite directions.
Like this?
Move it up. I can't see it. Move it up a little bit. There you go. Yeah, like that. And then the bottom two guys, one will go left, one will go right, and then the bottom guy in the stack will set somebody for the screen for him. Yep. That guy will go that way. That guy will go that way. Yep. And then, yep. And those two will go opposite directions because the one is flying to the basket. Assuming you're going to your left. Yep. Yeah. Move it up just a little bit so everybody can see it. Yep. Perfect. Yep.
And then this guy you're saying
screens there, and then he gets to decide which way he goes, and then the other guy goes the other way.
Oh, okay. So you can many times.
So you're spreading out again. And also, if you're passing it toward their basket, just be really careful. Have that discussion again. But that will be, that will work. We've done that. Anything like that. I think one stack is good, but you just got to do different things. Maybe curl off it. Maybe everyone sets a screen. We do it where they tap their butt, and that's an indication you go that way. And then they kind of know which way, so we're not doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So we'll stack it, and then we make a rule about, like, if I tap you, we do that on offense on the block too when we're rebounding on free throws. You know, we have hand signals like baseball. I steal from football and baseball coaches, but we have hand signals on which way you're going to go, or I'm going to screen for you. So it's like a nose. That means I'm going to come screen you, you curl and I come back to get the rebound, kind of things like that. So again, we know the signals, no one even knows they're doing it, but it gets them thinking about it. It's the same thing with a stack out of bounds play like that. You know, just come up with whatever you want, like a tap or the first guy decides in the stack. If he goes left, the other guy goes right. The other guy goes left. The other guy goes, just enough change that they'll freak them out a little bit.
Okay.
If they don't know what's going on. Yeah. That will help a ton.
Okay.
Yeah. Movement is a key with most of that. Because the guy throwing it in knows where everyone else is going. No one else knows where everyone else is going. So that's the...
I had one other one if no one else is talking.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. So against an odd front, whether it's a 1-3-1 or a 3-2, I use the dice. Two guards up at the front.
Yep. Yep.
One in the middle and two in the corners. When the ball goes to the middle, do you like the guys that were in the corners to cut to the basket?
Dive, baby. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes. That's what I wanted to know.
Find or space
keep them
dive.
There for the corner three.
Yeah. The general rule of thumb is always opposite. If it's an odd man front, even man. So a 1-3-1, you go with some sort of even front. You always go opposite to spacing. Spacing's the key to any good offense.
Do you ever, like right now we said dive, those corner guys dive, but do you ever just keep them out there for a corner three?
Well, if you think you can get a lane to the basket, like if he starts driving, don't come in and bring your man in there. But yeah, I mean, that's a distinct possibility. But the problem is if they dive, they both dive to the basket, one of them will be open.
Got it.
One of them will be open. Now, whether the person that catches it can make that pass, whole different world. But you know, if you got a big man that's got good hands and can pass, then you're in pretty good shape, I think.
Yeah, because if the middle guy gets the ball, he has a lot of options. If those guys dive, he can hit them. But if there's so much attention to him and he goes to the rack, then he could kick out for a corner three. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that works really well. I mean, again, I like the banana cut. I like the refill behind cut. It takes practice, though. But yeah, I like that. I mean, again, you're just cutting to space. If the space is at the basket, cut to the basket.
Got it.
Especially against the zone. All right, one more. And I'm going to do this next. What's next Wednesday? Next Sunday? I'm gonna
Father's
do this.
Day.
Yep. Oh, it is Father's Day. We'll do it late on Father's Day if anybody is free. I know it won't be late for you, James, but everybody else, whoever else is on the West Coast. Well, we'll do. I might do late next Sunday if anyone's free, because I know the following week I'm going west to go fishing with my son in Wyoming. So
nice.
Yeah, it will be great. Yeah, it'll be great. Well, yeah, trout fishing. I love trout fishing. I haven't done it in a while.
Hey, Coach, just a quick follow-up question. Yep. Do you ever have the like a 2-1-2 set? Do you ever have them switch blisters, or do you like them more just moving and relocate and come back to their general area and keep the 2-1-2 alignment? You know, and sort of
We'll overload. It depends on how they're running their zone, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it really depends on how they're running their zone. So if they're being pressure, if they're pressuring us, like we were saying last week, I'm going to make you pay. But if you're sitting down on it, then I'll overload a side. I'll do things where I will try to get the right people, the ball in the right spots. Especially if you're packing it in a zone, then I can play. Then it's more chess for me. I don't have to stay in that 2-1-2 per se.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can, yeah. So, no, there is not a steadfast rule that I'm going to stay in that.
Just cut to open space, kind of stay in your general area, keep alignment.
Cutting, yeah. Zones don't like two things. They don't like cutters and they don't like movement, especially from side to side. So, if you can do either one of those, then, yeah, they'll have problems. And shooters. Get shooters. That helps with zones. All right. Anybody else that has a question that hasn't asked one that wants to ask before I jump off here? Because I have to head off to my coaching meeting for camp tomorrow. No? Everyone's being bashful tonight? All right. No worries. All right. I will send something out end of the week. If you want the pack line thing, James is like on top of it already and my phone dinged. So he's already asked for it. So I'll send it to him, but if anybody else wants it, I can send that off. All right.
Yeah, I would definitely like that too.
Okay perfect. Cool. Yep. Right, just thanks. Send me an email. Hey everybody, hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join 14-day free trial, and then stop the car, subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right. Maybe have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.